to the Voice of Freedom radio program, your source for alternative information, always uncensored, often politically incorrect, and sometimes revisionist in nature. This is Ernst Zündel from the Voice of Freedom, coming to you from North America on the 19-meter band on 15.420 megahertz via WRNO radio every Sunday at this time. We have a very interesting guest for you today.
So, I'm Ernst Zündel from the Voice of Freedom radio program, and I am going to speak with Richard Masker. Mr. Masker is a cult deprogrammer. And I wondered, Mr. Masker, what on heck is a cult deprogrammer?
Well, Ernst, thank you for having me on your program. I want to say that you're classifying basically the Holocaust as a cult, and I think probably looking at it from a different perspective, we would be better looked at as a criminology organization, that like a criminologist. Only we're called conspiratologists. And we basically look at the International Marxist Zionist Coalition conspiracy as a criminologist would look at a huge, gigantic crime. And so what we are is deprogrammers, because we take it upon ourselves to be kind of like international police investigators and tell people about this enormous crime that's going on worldwide.
And you do that how?
Well, first of all, we do research on international criminal conspiracies, secret societies, and subversive movements. And then we lay out various ways that people can discipline themselves and to educate themselves so that they can be very effective deprogrammers of other people. You understand what I'm saying?
And they do that through first educating themselves.
That's correct. And then we can act as consultants with them. We're also police consultants. We do, the last job we did, we were paid by the city of Ogden, Utah, to go down and deprogram all 130 of their police officers. And we do this kind of a thing quite often.
And deprogram them from what?
Well, as you know, the police force, law enforcement, federal agencies, state and local governments, very few of these people who are in the service of, quote, the people, know very little about the conspiracy. And consequently, we are very instrumental in deprogramming them. They've been programmed by the controlled media, the Marxist Zionist controlled media. Their mothers and fathers and their grandmothers and fathers have a long history of being very systematically programmed by the Zionist system. And so we deprogram them.
So does that mean, in a way, that you are trying to offset the work that groups like the Anti-Defamation League of My Brother is doing, for instance?
That's exactly correct.
So yeah, the other side of the coin.
That's exactly correct.
Uh-huh. So in other words, you are actually dealing almost with unbrainwashing?
I call it deprogramming.
No. I mean, this is a...
Sure.
We have a snail house of a sum total of all the news we hear and all the entertainment, education, and these docudramas and so on.
That's right.
And so all this acquired baggage, we basically have to examine and dump what is not in our interest. Is that what you're doing?
Yes, it is. We're basically deprogramming people. We're looking at the other side of the issue when it comes to international criminal conspiracies and mind control of the masses. We are exposing the politicians. We are exposing the clergy. We are exposing all those elements which are very vital in the international force of subduing and enslaving universal mankind. Now, I may bring this up. We are not apologeticists. Our organization, we talk about a Jewish conspiracy exactly the way it is, and we take it from the Zionist writings themselves and from people who have gotten out of the system and blown the whistle on the conspiracy. So we are not apologeticists like so many organizations. And also, we are not considered anti-Semitic. if there was an international conspiracy that was controlled and run by Eskimos, we would expose Eskimos. So we are not prejudicial or bigoted in any way in that sense. We tell it just the way it is.
And you are telling me, in all seriousness, that there was a police department that let you loose inside the police department?
It's an interesting story. We had a police chief from Ogden, Utah, for this particular incident. I could give you others. But this individual was investigating right-wing, quote-unquote, Aryan terrorism. So he came up to Coeur d'Alene, and he wanted to find out. But when he got up here, basically, the homosexual community got a hold of him, and the leftist Marxist Zionist got a hold of him. And by the time they got through with him, he was so brainwashed, he didn't know which way was up. So I contacted him in Ogden and explained to him the situation. And after intensive research, this police chief then discovered that he had been deceived. And he went to the City Council of Ogden, Utah, and they appropriated funds for training. And they hired myself and my wife assisted me, and we went down to Ogden. And during four sessions and two full days, we deprogrammed the entire 135-member police force.
And don't you get kind of a tremendous resistance? That, you know, people want to hang on to the picture of the world that they have grown up with and accustomed to.
That's exactly right. But I believe I have good news for the people out there in Radioland, Ernst, because I think that so many things like the Holocaust, the very vagrant and flagrant aspects of the media now, people are waking up very quickly. As a political deprogrammer, I'm very enthusiastic and very gratified to see how many people are starting to think for themselves for a change. And they really want this information. And we are an international organization. We have conspiratologists all over the world, from Barcelona, Spain, to Sydney, Australia, and in New Zealand. And it's really wonderful to see the response we're getting for this kind of work. And it is extremely vital work, as you very well know. International genocide is not a very benign situation. This is life and death on national basis, and so we take our conspiratological aspects very, very seriously.
Now, how about, let's say, Masonry? Do you consider Masonry a kind of a cult?
I consider it a potential. It's a cult, yes, it is, in a sense. It's a very devotional type of situation. People can get into it and almost lose control of their own consciousness and their own actions by relinquishing it themselves to this organization, very similar to a lot of religions. Our organization is not a religious organization, but we do reveal to people how the conspiracy uses religions and also how it would use the Freemasons and so forth.
I was going to ask you about, for instance, what makes up a cult? Is Scientology a cult, or is there a legitimate religion?
Well, there can be a medium there. Both of them can be working together. If it takes over a person's free agency and it completely destroys their ability to rationalize and think for themselves, then it is a cult. But it also takes on a front like a religion. A lot of people would look at international Judaism as a front religion for a conspiratorial aspects of political Zionism. So it can be looked at on a very similar type of basis.
Uh-huh. But I mean, you know, the Jewish religion was around long before Zionism was around.
Well, that's true. Christianity was around a long time too, but look how they're using it in so many different ways.
Yeah. Now, Protestants, you know, Protestants?
Yes.
They were once just protesting some aspect of a church. And does that mean that at one time you can be a cult, and when you become successful, then you cease to be a cult? Or what?
I think a cult is basically anything that the anti-cultists want it to be. If they don't like you, then they will classify you as a cult. I, for many years, I am in the Mormon Church. I'm not your typical run-of-the-mill, everyday garden variety Mormon, but anybody who doesn't like Mormons calls them a cult. Mormonism has tendencies of brainwashing and control, just like Catholicism or Jehovah's Witnesses or anything else. So I think it's a semantic situation. Whatever they want to make out of it, they can.
Now, that brings us to the most famous cult of recent times in Waco, Texas. Why did the government, if you are into these situations, why did the government decide that this was a no good cult, and why are other cults good, and why is this particular cult not good?
I don't think it really had much to do with cult. I think it had to do with the cult aspect was used as a public hate-mongering type of propaganda campaign. I think the basic aspect of the Waco situation, as well as with the Randy Weaver shootout up here in North Idaho, was basically the government is in the process now, under President Billary, of instituting some very dramatic and very drastic aspects in their force to the New World Order, the international final climax of the conspiracy. And I think the government is trying to intimidate in the United States the citizenry to not become involved in anything controversial or has even the slightest aspects of terrorism or rebellion or what have you. And so they have used this power motive to instill fear and intimidation, apathy and complacency in the American mind. And I believe it's going the opposite way. I think the people in this country resent it. You know, Ernst, Canada doesn't have much of a constitution, and the United States is heading in that way also. But we still do have a remnant of free speech. And this thing is turning around on the government. They're looking terrible.
So are you saying that then the one, let's say the thin blue line, the one major weapon against the encroachment of cults or the kind of solidification of cults is free speech?
Free speech and righteous actions, I suspect. Our research likes to prove everything that we say. When we say that there's an international Marxist Zionist Jewish conspiracy, we are absolutely in the prepared to go into a court of law or before the people and prove that. Freedom of speech is absolutely vital, and I believe that there's people in Germany who are listening to this program can testify what happens when they lose free speech. Am I answering your question?
Yep, you are. And I'm just wondering, you know, there are some pretty powerful people and organizations that obviously have had a head start on your organization. They are most likely better financed and better connected. And how do you think you're going to survive the counterattack that will undoubtedly come against a person or a group of persons like yourself?
Well, there's certain moral aspects that a person must adhere to, regardless of the cost. The cost of losing this battle is so enormous that it palls the imagination to think of what would happen if we did nothing. I don't think I could morally live with myself if I did not continue to labor in this, regardless of the financial aspect of it. We do whatever we can, and we try to instill in other people the knowledge of what's happening so that they will understand the significance and the enormity of the crime that's being committed against international humanity. And then it's up to them to do whatever they can to... there's an old saying that when you know the truth, tell your neighbor. And that's basically what we're trying to do, as an instrument in the hands of training people to be good communicators and to be deprogrammers and conspiratologists.
So are you saying then maybe that you are a modern day Paul Revere?
Oh, absolutely. But it's not just me. It's many, many organizations. In the United States, we have very patriotic organizations popping up every day. But like I said, we are international, and we are reputable.
And do you have a publication or a newsletter or an address where people can turn to if, let's say, one of their children. I mean, let's bring it down to a very personal level. There are all kinds of kooky religious cults, some of them drug-related or sex-related. Are you available for a parent that, for instance, lost a daughter or a son to a cult? Can you or will you come to their aid and travel to a distant place to help a family out to reclaim their children?
Yes, I will. I have to be financed, obviously. We don't have the resources to do this. But any way that I can help, or one of our associates — we don't have members of the organization, but we do have worldwide associates, and that's what we do, is to assist people in these kind of situations. We are not specifically a religious deprogrammer.
I see.
We are more politically, as you know, conspiratologically inclined. But we are — the knowledge that we have and the information that we can depart to people has saved marriages. It's saved families, because there is such a paranoia and a fear within society today, especially white Western society, that the people are self-destructing and they don't understand why. So we come in and we say, look, you are a victim of an international crime, and tell them who the criminals are and how you are being victimized, and then they can see their life through a totally different perspective.
And how do you do that? With overhead slides or videos or
tape recordings? We just come in and lecture, give lectures, and we give them a reading list, and ask them to study on their own, and then we train them how to give public lectures and how to deal with the controlled media, and we try to make conspiratologists out of them. Because once you understand this, it's very difficult for a person to stand still and not become active in getting the word out to others. And I'll have to say this, Ernst, that it's a great time to be alive, because like the tremendous work you've done on exposing the Holocaust myth, these are the kind of elements that make our job so easy, because the people now are becoming so economically, spiritually, and emotionally and politically suppressed that they're very, very concerned. Something is terribly wrong, and the people want answers, and we give them answers, and it's working out very well.
Yeah, the film by Oliver Stone into the assassination of President Kennedy. Would you kind of say this is a kind of an indication that the public is stirring, that they're no longer satisfied with mamby-pamby, pablum-type answers?
Or? Yes, that's correct. I think they're very suspicious. And this is a new phenomenon in America. This is something that the conspiracy has been so obvious that it's had to rapidly expand its scenario, its schedule, far beyond what they anticipated. The fax machine, the Xerox copier, the enormous communications that we've developed have got them on the run. They're afraid that people are waking up too fast, and consequently they are slipping up, and they're escalating their program, and they're being so obvious now that it's the people are very, very concerned, and they're easy listeners, and they want to know more. And the word is getting out very rapidly, and that's the first battle line to overcome this international conspiracy.
When I was a believer in the Holocaust, and
yeah,
I had, of course, been programmed by the Allies in post-war German schools.
I was the same way.
You know, by controlled textbooks and Allied censored films that we were given, and so on. I remember that a man, almost similar to what you are describing, the work that you are doing, shone this very bright flashlight of information into my eyes, and I was blinded for a little while, and really, I was like a backslider. I remember the struggle that I had with myself.
Oh, yeah.
Because, of course, I was lucky. I was only a young person.
Sure.
But what happens to a person, a man or a woman, let's say they're 50 years old, 60 years old, some of them are 70 years old. Let's take a World War II American veteran. He has lived all his life with this warm glow that he fought the good fight, and he kind of killed, like St. George, killed the dragon, and now suddenly along comes a person like yourself or like myself, and what happens to him, to her. How do you kind of break down their psyche and reassemble it? Why don't you know? Are you leaving behind shattered wrecks that kind of drift on the ocean of life like a little nutshell bouncing from wave to wave? How do you do it?
Well, it depends on the situation. Each person is different, and each person has had a conditioning process behind them that has brought them to where they're at. In the basic, if a person comes to me, it means that they're in kind of a terminal brainwash condition. They're the last dish effort to call in a conspiratologist. But generally, you ask questions, and you get them to start to think on their own. And they will start to respond in various ways. You're not brainwashing them. You're just investigating their mind. And once they begin to think that there is a cause and effect relationship behind the demise of white Western civilization, then they're usually willing to listen to options. And there's not a lot of options today. We don't delve into supernaturalism or anything else, but we get people to start to think on their own. And then I just basically lay out the historical aspect of the conspiracy, its method of operation, just like a police detective would lay out the method of operations of a particular crime. And then I say, you are the victim, Mr. and Mrs. America, or Mr. and Mrs. New Zealander, or whoever you are. And this is how the criminals operate. And it's amazing how positive these people respond to it.
So is it a form then of exorcism of the mind, or what?
I guess you could call it that, in a way that they have accumulated a baggage of rumors and myths and lies and misinformation. And basically you're saying, now look, let's go back to your computer here and clean out all these bad files and look at the situation in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, how about if you, let's say, you meet a policeman in this police department there, and he has a son, and he has a wife, or he has a number of children. They've gone to university. They naturally have bought into the prevailing culture myth, let's call it. And he gets home, and you have just spent 2 days deprogramming this policeman, and then suddenly he is being enveloped in all the standard political correctness.
Yeah.
How about if he slides back? Have you got a method of kind of pulling him back up, or do they need booster shots, or how does it work?
That's an interesting question. I'm gonna answer that in this way. First of all, you know, communism was very prevalent. That was the big Zionist push in the East, and communism then dissolved, and it was called democracy over there now. But in the West, in our country, in white Western civilization, they established what was called liberalism. And liberalism was a very subversive ideology that was very carefully programmed and brainwashed into the masses. And this is what I call the cult. The cult of liberalism has got to be rectified in order for people to see what's really happening. Now, this police officer that you're talking about, I would have to make an evaluation. How deliberalized has he become? And one of the really nice things about my job as a conspiratologist is when this liberal gets to that certain point that he discovers and he's been sensitized that there is a conspiracy, then I have given him the magic key to unlocking the propaganda machine. And then he goes home, and it's very difficult for him to backslide, because every time he reads the newspaper or turns on... the tube is telling him in a one-way communications, and it does my work for him, because now he's aware of the situation. So it's very difficult for these backsliders to come around, because they're completely surrounded with Zionist lie and hoax propaganda day in and day out. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. In a way, it flabbergasts me, you know. I suppose I have been buffeted around by all these court cases and so on.
Sure.
And I have never encountered as clear thinking, as I think that you're giving me hope. You're saying that there are people out there that actually are open through reason to understand and to do the right thing for themselves, to kind of get hold of their gray matter between their ears and straighten it out, and don't go on like they're doing computerese, garbage in, garbage out
right.
decisions.
Right.
I mean, this is in before we close, I want to find out from you, are intelligent people, the people that one says, you know, with good IQ, are they more easily deprogrammed, or is it more difficult to deprogram them?
It's more difficult in some cases. It depends on where they went to school and what their background is. It depends on what the degree of liberalization that they've had. Some people who are highly educated just simply will not admit to anybody that they could be wrong. And that's the pride of our people. That is a very difficult thing to overcome. But yet, I find in some churches, religions, and in political aspects, if the message is presented in the right way, the person can admit that they're wrong and become deliberalized in a very honorable way.
So it is, you say, it is non-denominational. Your work is not bound to any particular religious sect.
No.
And therefore, when a person sheds its baggage, they are born again in a way, but not in the Christian sense, they are born again in the human sense.
That's correct. I also want to make two statements. First of all, we are not a political patriot group. We all have jobs and we work. Patriotism should not be, a person should not be a petty patriot empire builder. Every dime that comes into our organization goes into deprogramming, to computers, into printing, and so forth.
I see.
Also, I want you to know that we are not racist in the sense, because a conspiratologist, as a criminologist, understands that this international conspiracy is undermining all societies, all races, all cultures, and all ethnic groups, and we deprogram everyone of every ethnic and racial group in the world. So we're not anti-Semitic and we're not racist and all of those smear tactics that the ADL and the other control media wants to have you believe.
Good. I'm glad that you got that one off your chest, because for a minute there I thought, Look, I give everybody on the program the opportunity to give their name, their address, and their zip code and so on, in case that people want to get in touch with you. Would you give me your name, your P.O. box, and so on?
Sure. My name is Richard F. Masker, and this is the International Conspiratological Association. And just write to the ICA, P.O. Box 4688, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, 83814, USA.
Very good. I have enjoyed talking to you. You're a very interesting man.
Well,
and undoubtedly we'll hear from one another again. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
An important announcement from the Voice of Freedom. We have been approached by a number of groups, organizations, and book and magazine publishers to advertise their events and merchandise. We will offer a limited number of 1 minute or 30 second commercials on a purchase or swap basis. Please keep in mind, like all broadcasters, we are bound by certain laws, regulations, and codes of ethics in the material that we can and will broadcast. Contact us for further details and cost.
At The Voice of Freedom, Ernst Zündel, 206 Carlton Street, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M5A2L1. Until next week.